So I'm Lorna. I am, as I said, I'm Secretary of PhD at Glasgow Caledonian. My research specifically focuses on young transgender people and how they use survival sex while they're homeless. So the vast majority of my literature comes from the US, unfortunately, and some from Australia. There's virtually nothing for the UK. So I'm doing a lot of my field work. I'm doing 3 months out in Denver, Colorado, and I'm doing 3 or 4 months here in the UK wide. So my initial reason for choosing Photo Voice, it was actually a kind of developmental reason, because a lot of my literature is very medical. It all comes kind of from a psychological viewpoint, and there's not a lot of research which has trans young people actually expressing themselves, expressing their own voices, and what it's like for them to have to turn to sex work in order to just A, survive, and sometimes B, use it to transition, to start the transition process. So the beauty of Photo Voice is it's participatory. So in terms of it can be as free as you want young people to take it, so they can basically take photos of everything and be entirely in control of the project, or you can have your kind of specified kind of research goals that you're wanting to come out of it, like I do. So my specific project is called Telling It Like It Is. So it allows young people to take the photos and then critique them with me through interview and talk about them, caption them, and they can use it in any way, shape or form to express how they see themselves, how they see the world, how they feel they're treated by society, etc., etc. So it's an excellent methodology. So yeah, so as I said, participatory research, so specifically for Photo Voice, it allows participants to raise questions through their photographs. So why does the situation exist? Do we want to change it? If so, how? They can document it. It can be very, very political, or it can be very, very personal. And it can be the images taken can be the kind of grassroots to social change. It's also very much about empowerment. So Photo Voice's methodology is very much based on Freire's critical consciousness theory. So it's all about knowing you're being oppressed and being able to kind of come back from that and fight against it by using your own photographs, your own voice, telling your stories, and preventing people who, for their own profit, want to come in and sell your story themselves. It's complete prevention. And it's also a really powerful tool for individuals to find their own voice and express it through a visual image. Especially with regards to this topic of like the child neglect seminar series. So Photo Voice themselves did a project in conjunction with Having Our Say. And it was specifically with the National Working Network for Sexually Exploited Children and Young People. And they did it for an extended period of 3 months. This again is the beauty of Photo Voice. You can have your project being anything from 3 days to many, many months, depending on how, you know, what you're wanting to do, whether it is a political movement or whether it is literally just for young people to be able to have self-expression. So this one up here is particularly powerful. This girl was very much sexually exploited. She had a really terrible time, and at the time when the project was going on, she was actually still involved with Come On Plate. She was involved with a court case, so she wasn't allowed to show her face when she wanted to do portraits. So she did a captioning using this, I'm not an object. So she came up with the idea of she desperately wanted to be in the pictures to show who she was, to show that she wasn't just this object that was sold. And she was the one that came up with the words to kind of describe herself. So they're really powerful, powerful images that can come from Photo Voice, and she had complete free reign, as did all the other young people that were involved.
So you can go and have a look at these digital stories if you'd like. They've also had a third project doing it, so it's been really, really successful.
So yeah, so participatory photography can kind of encourage personal change in individuals. and changes such as building confidence and capacity, enabling their voices to be heard. It can also be creative and fun. It doesn't all have to be serious and dark and difficult. And it can build dialogue and it can nurture creativity. So, planning a project. I always say, because I used to be a diver, so it was plan the dive, dive the plan. Like, you don't, you have to kind of be quite structured and specific of what you want to do. So, in doing your project, you should consider partnerships. So whether or not you want to involve other organisations within it, whether or not those organisations have their own agenda, what they want to come out of the project, whether you just want to kind of keep it for yourself. You can also utilise other partnerships with regards to specialisms and expertise, and also, you know, people who are quite strong at designing really, really good projects. So, you know, considering partnerships is quite important. Your project design will look at your overall design. So if you're using partners, how will they function? How much involvement will they have? You want to outline all of your workshop programmes. You want to consider your participants, who you want involved in it, what age range you would like, whether or not you have a specific focus. So if it is child neglect, you know, finding participants who are willing and able to be part of that, and what purpose you want the project to have overall, and what outputs that you want to gain from it. Funding applications, this is only if you're going to be doing like a really large piece of research. And want to kind of undertake it the way that Photo Voice did there with the Chafkin network. Programme design, what will your workshops look like? How long will they last? Who will deliver them? Will you deliver them? Will you have multiple facilitators in with you, helping you with it? Will you have volunteers perhaps? Maybe it's through a youth group, etc., etc. And also advertising for participants as well for wanting to kind of take part in it. So your programme delivery, what's your main focus? Are you given enough time to it? Are your facilitators able to achieve the delivery that you're looking for? And it's also about deciding whether or not the project theme or work can continue after your own work, your own project is finished. So it's really important to see that there's longitudinal, like a longer amount of time, and whether the young people, like Photo Voice, a lot of the time will purchase a laptop, a projector, and however many cameras with rechargeable or battery operated with memory sticks, and then they'll actually just give that to the project, and that's the kind of gift of being part of it, so that young people can continue on taking photos after, you know, the specific project is finished. So output and evaluation, you know, what are you hoping to achieve, what are you going to consider, what do you want people to see and engage with the work, and why? Like, I'm hoping to put on an exhibition, so it's because my study is a comparative study, I want to put on an exhibition, both US and UK, of young people's photographs and captions, and hopefully I'm using oral history, life history interviews as well, so hoping to kind of marry up the captions with just snippets of voice to say, you know, this is what my life is like. So you can do like a touring exhibition, just a DVD resource, which is just as effective, online exhibition like that one. There's many, many mediums for you to have like decent outputs at the end of it that kind of benefits the young people. It's also really nice to, you know, make up a book of photos that the young people have all taken individually and give that to them, because then it has that kind of value, and giving them a camera as well when they've kind of gained so much from it. Is also a really nice idea for them to continue on their own, not just kind of project-led. So, and also, it's a really good idea, obviously, to have evaluation, not just at the end, but throughout the entire process for young people, because they do kind of chop and change, and sometimes emotions can get difficult and they don't want to take part in it anymore. And so it's kind of drawing that back and making the goals more achievable for them you know, hoping that they'll stay kind of to the end of it all and get something out of it. So, yeah. So, in terms of working safely with emotions, so obviously, like, in the mornings, chat from Sheena, She talked about having a safe space, and it's very much about that, especially when you're working with a group, and especially if it's possibly a mixture of girls and boys. There's always that kind of issue with the kind of gender split and how boys and girls like to tease and annoy and can be cruel. So there's that kind of, having to create a safe space. None of this is going to be new to you. You'll all have known, know about building confidentiality, making sure that anything that's, said within the room is kept in the room, etc., etc.
Do you choose always to work together with boys and girls together, or do you tap?
No, them? You can, but that's the beauty and the flexibility of photo boys. You can split it and
it's easier to work separately,
very much so. You can get a lot more out of them, especially for that 14 to 16 age where everything's either hilariously funny or everything's kind of centred around puberty and changing and difficult emotions. So yeah, sometimes it is quite nice to split them up in their genders. So only strictly with photo boys themselves, you would get cameras.
So the London-based organisation is a charitable status.
Yes.
Right. And it's about providing a platform for a different.
Yeah, it's an emancipatory kind of.
I mean, that CSE, I thought, oh my goodness, I've seen a lot of CSE national campaigns come out from government, and that in 2 minutes told you far more about CSE. So it's very, very powerful. Yeah. So they're an organisation, so you linked in with them
to do training.
So they train you.
Yeah, they do a 3-day intensive training on how to execute workshops, how to get funding applications, how to build the right. You need them to in order to get the funding you need to
do the one space high project. They touch on very, very, very real sensitive personal, probably sometimes legal stuff. In what they're doing. So do they also, just picking up a point on confidentiality, I mean, I get safe space, but do they also give you skills or links into if you hear something and you think that's...
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. I can't give you 3 days if this is not training. Why it's called a snapshot, because I'm like, if you want to go and do the training, it's like, this is me
that's
just
great.
In a country
really
cool.
Right.
No, no, fine, I'm sorry, I maybe just didn't make it clear at the beginning, I should have probably
but you could actually just photo boys might have a different approach, but you could use different kind of apps and approaches using digital photography which actually do digital storytelling and use it in research as well. You're doing it within a framework, but there's lots of different
there's lots of different
apps and tools and ways of doing it and software, most of which does have a commercial basis, so there's always kind of complexities around that about what is shared and not shared. So presumably photo voice is much clearer about copyright.
Very much
and
so.
And it's not a US copyright.
No. It's all.
And you pay to access it then?
No, I don't pay to access. You can go online on Float Voice and download it all.
So, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's an organisation which facilitates Float Voice, and it's not US software, because that's always the big issue.
No, it's a UK based organisation. And I don't represent them. I am in the training. Because for me, it was better than photo elicitation, because photo elicitation is photographs that have been taken many years in advance and bringing them in and talking about them, whereas I wanted them to take them at the time to describe their lives. So I'll get them to take like 1 photograph an hour for 24 hours of a day in life. And then discuss them, sit down and critique them. Why did you take it like this? Why did you take your portrait of your feet and not your face? What does that explain in your daily life? How does that, what is that, what the gender imbalance going into spaces which are threatening to you, etc. So for me, it's a much more powerful tool than.
So you're using it as an approach to try to give people a voice, and so sometimes it's difficult for people to talk face to face or participate in an interview, but using the photographs, you can get that discussion going.
And the nice thing about it is that it's so flexible, so it literally is quite you work it in a way where you will gradually introduce photographic techniques over a period of workshops.
So eventually they'll go from just taking snaps to and framing and choosing colour and using background and zooming in, and you know, so then they're actually learning the skill of photography while they're just fooling about with the camera.
And they get to keep the camera, did you say?
Well, my participants get to keep camera.
They get to keep the camera.
Yeah, because that was part of my deal of what I'll do.
So just going back, I'm just interested how it started. You mentioned at the beginning that there are an awful lot, a lot of this is more developed in the US. You talk about
My literature, comes from the US. I'm a master of bio research, so I'm a PhD student. So my literature comes from the US, it's US based, we don't have anything here in the UK. So, and because it's a very medical model, so it's psychiatrists and psychologists and doctors telling me what trans young people are like, not trans young people telling me what they're like.
That's the transgender literature rather than the photo voice literature, because that's community nursing that's came from.
That's right, in developing nations. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and because you were looking into transgender, that you actually, and you wanted to do something more, you know, more hands-on, that's when you discovered about photo voice.
Yeah, so I went through a 6-month period of looking at which methods I wanted to use, and which, because I felt, as I said, photo elicitation wasn't kind of strong enough for me, because it was reflecting the photos that I've been taking a number of years before, or even...
So how do you get to get the... I'm just really interested how you get the young people to... Because it sounds like it's quite a long process. I mean, some...
doesn't have to be 3 days. It can be short 3 days.
Right.
It can be then literally go out for an afternoon and taking a camera and taking photos. It's entirely dependent, like I said there, of what you want out of the project and what you want the young people get out of it. So if you want to do a whole 3 to 8 month one where they literally come out as photographers, then that's amazing. But I don't. I just want them to kind of enjoy it, express themselves. They will get skills out of it, but it's that kind of way. I'm not pressuring my participants to do the photography at all. They can just do the oral strings for you. So it's all very much just not coming out of it.
When you're saying there's nothing here, and you know, in terms of the focus of your research and the literature, so why isn't there anything here when you have such amazing organisations here who support transgender young people?
Because trans visibility is just in the last 10 months, really. When you look at it, like in terms of media, transgender young people haven't. Even trans young people don't really get. Even like your man's documentary, what's it called? It was very nice. Blew through. He went to the States and interviewed 5 sets of trans parents for trans young people. It was beautiful, it was very sensibly done, but it wasn't really what it's like. It's not really how it is. All of my literature for my review of the research comes from the US. I have about 4 pieces from the UK, one's from LGBT Scotland, like 2 pieces of Scotland, so. But it doesn't look at using sex work, it doesn't look at...
So that's completely missing here.
It's entirely different.
Really interesting. Mm-hmm. Thank you, sorry.
That's fine. So obviously you will... I didn't want to get into the nitty-gritty, but the kind of obviously you're going to have gotten consent from your participants for taking photos, keeping those photos, reproducing said photos. Okay, so they'll have signed consent forms to say, yes, this is perfectly okay. Yes, I can join in this group. I can leave at any point without like any negative consequences because this just isn't for me. Okay, so that's generally what you would set up. And obviously confidentiality, you can't keep it if they're in danger, etc., etc., or something's happening to them. So when you're doing good beginnings, obviously you're going to start slowly and don't plunge in too soon with what you're wanting to engage participants in. You want to find them ways of getting acquainted and getting to know each other, so using icebreakers, you'll know all about them. And making them kind of as general and as simple as possible. You'll obviously have gone over your ground rules about everything you can and should not be doing while you're
participating. Roadmaps are really good. So you can offer a roadmap for the whole of the workshop that you're doing that day or the whole of your project to young people. You can remind them again about the roadmap, like where you're going that day or where you're going for the rest of the week, you know, intermittently throughout. Transparency is obviously great, so I miss practicalities, so, you know, be clear about practicalities, what you're doing, where the toilets are, when you're breaking for food, etc., etc. Transparency is good, yeah. Be transparent about the motivation for the workshop or for the whole project, because you'll know, well, I've always worked young people. I used to be a social worker, a youth justice social worker with young people in the Highlands. So, you know, they can see right through you. You know, they know fine well what's going on, whether or not you're true to what you're saying or you're, you know, trying to pull the wool over their eyes. So transparency is really helpful. Setting ground rules, like I said, making sure that you need to feel safe, write up responses, get a group agreement, your ground rules, confidentiality, no interruptions, respectful language, no mobile phones, etc., etc. And feedback, make sure that you're getting feedback throughout the day, make sure you're getting feedback, you know, all the way through everything. So your ongoing factors will be thinking it through, like trying to kind of anticipate how they're feeling about things, whether you should pull back and make things less deep or more deep, and reassuring people that they don't have to contribute, they don't have to talk about emotions, they don't have to get involved, because prior to taking photos, you're obviously trying to get the group to kind of bond and chat and be part of this. Avoid, or making it voluntary, like I said, so at any point they can walk away from it without any negative consequences. Avoiding creating too many expectations, because you might be like, well, I know exactly what I want out of this. I know I want them to, you know, do A, B and C for me. But if you put young people under too much pressure, they'll just tell you F off and they're not going to come back. So, you know, it's like everything else. If you create too much, they're not going to respond and they'll withdraw. Yep, self-responsibility, so making sure that they're kind of invited to be part of their own level of responsibility, that they are taking responsibility for themselves. When it comes to like disclosure of things or considering risk or not going too deep or, you know, kind of trying to push themselves a little bit further. And scales. Oh, I missed scales out for some reason. So you can even talk about, you know, if we're in terms of scales, like, you know, if 5 is kind of neutral and you're feeling okay, you know, 10 will be amazing, 1 is horrendous, that kind of scaling of emotions and feelings. Language, so paying attention to your own language when you're talking with young people, making sure you're not being exclusionary and you're being as inclusive as possible. Positive reinforcement, so thanking them for coming and having, you know, that you had an amazing time and they've done really well, and lots of encouragement. And acknowledging like diversity and difference, so in diversity and inclusion. So you might get, you know, young people who are perhaps have a faith or don't have a faith, and, you know, making sure they don't feel judged for having or not having. And knowing that everybody has something different to bring into the project, has something different to bring into the circle. So impact on the facilitator or of the facilitator. So just, you know, preparation is probably the most important part. Making sure you know what you're in for and being clear about your boundaries. Being a calming presence. Yep. Making sure that if somebody does disclose something to you, you don't have the kind of shocked horror face. And that if somebody does say something within the group, you know, you're not kind of run into the in panic, that you're able to take them aside and talk to them quietly and then get whatever it is sorted out. So being comfortable with strong emotions, like, you know, Sheena was talking about that kind of space for anger. So being comfortable with young people getting angry or getting, you know, or crying or, and modelling behaviour, so you kind of obviously model the behaviour you want from the young people. Facilitating pairs is quite a nice thing to do as well. So you can split them up into kind of gender pairs, or you can split the genders and do paired work together. And then just being flexible, because that's really what it is for young people, is the ability to be flexible for them in a group situation. So with regards to group dynamics, you can have like buddies, you know, buddying them up with each other, group responsibility, community roles. So, you know, if somebody's maybe in charge of setting the room up that morning, bringing the room down at night, making sure the batteries are all working, the cameras, etc., etc. Just having space to be themselves. A wobbly Wednesday, because Wednesdays are always the worst days of the week. People call it hump day, but I say it's the second Monday of the week, because to me it's just like, oh no, we're here again. So wobbly Wednesdays, sometimes young people, your numbers will dip. If you're doing a week long kind of project, normally Wednesday's the dip day. And considerations to make with young people. So again, just clarity, being really clear, using, you know, really flexible and language, kind of speaking to them about what's suitable to share within the room and what isn't suitable to share maybe at some point, being clear about child protection, authority figures, because sometimes, you know, if you've got another volunteer or facilitator that's in the room that perhaps one of the young people already knows through school or through another youth group, that young person might not be entirely themselves. So they might not want to have to share kind of their feelings about things when that person's in the room. So having these awarenesses. Doing follow-up. So, you know, there could be a really difficult morning of talking about emotions before you go out and take photographs, or even after. Maybe, you know, whatever portrait or whatever they have chosen to take photographs that afternoon have affected them so much that you want to basically sit down that afternoon and have a kind of debrief with them and make sure that they're okay. And again, confidentiality, making them aware of it, telling them, you know, I have to break it at some points if you tell me something that's risky. And emotional intelligence is quite difficult in young people, especially in teenage years. So it's just kind of having that awareness that probably just goes back to clarity, that, you know, it's all about the kind of being clear with them, but also the potential for them to be kind of volatile at times and angry at times, because they can't really control their emotions and maybe they might be a bit verbally abusive. I'm going to get you guys, for fun, to do a photo treasure hunt. So this is one of the kind of very first activities you would get young people to do. This is after you've done your icebreakers, your warm-ups, your everything else. This is one of the first things you would get them to do. So, have you all got mobile phones with cameras on them?
Yes. I'll show you my phone. It's got my number on the back. So I can't do anything.
Well, mine's just saved.
Remember, you've got an audience of several other people here.
Well, I will pair you up, both of you up, with somebody else who has a mobile phone with a camera on it.
Okay.
No, it's fine. So, if you could pair up for me, please. Do you want me to 1-2 you, 1-2 you, or can you all do it as grown ups? Okay, so with the photo phones, can you come here, please, and take a picture of my 5 themes? Just so you can tell them what's going on. So under no circumstances do I expect, you know, amazing, unless you are, you know, an amateur photographer on the side. This is all just about having a bit of fun, yeah, and trying to think creatively about these themes and not literal. So, like when I say a portrait, I don't want to like a selfie. Oh, when I think about what a portrait is, it might be outside, it might be somebody else's portrait, it could be your feet, it might be. So, it's like trying to think about the box rather than here.
You've never done selfies before.
So, I'm going to give you 15 minutes, and I would like you to find something or multiple things that's your favourite colour, a pattern, so think hard about what a pattern is. geometry, something round. So again, I think what's a good thing, a picture of a button or a ring. Like, have a think about what's round out there.